Hello, and welcome back to another episode of One of Us is Talking. I am so excited for today's episode. Cooper Van Grudel is joining me to talk all about Nate McCauley and filming One of Us is Lying. This was such a fun interview, and I hope you all enjoy it as much as I did. Without further ado, here's Cooper Van Grudel. Hello, welcome back to One of Us is Talking. I am here with a very exciting guest today, Cooper Van Grudel. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. How are you, Allison?
I'm good. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining. I know this has been a very long-awaited interview that people want to see and hear. So lots of fans are excited. And why don't we just jump right in? So I know that a lot of people, when I said that I would be interviewing you, everyone wanted to know about this journal that you had for Nate. And you write from his point of view to help get in touch with his character. So are there any scenes that helped, that you felt the journal helped play a big part in Nate's role?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think in particular, maybe not scenes and storylines, but I think that overall it helped in getting into character every day. I can't really think of any particular scenes, but what I would do was when we first started shooting season one, I got this journal. I went down to, a supermarket, just bought like a $3 journal. And I started writing in like first person view. So as like I and me, and I put Nate McCauley on the front. And so I started to sort of develop his backstory, what happened in his past and his childhood, what happened with his parents, and just all this information that I could gather to build up Nate McCauley as a character. So I had that, and I had it was like almost like mine as Nate, And then sort of every day before work, if we were shooting a particular scene, I would write down what happened before, what was happening during the scene, how I was feeling, all these like little sort of nitty bitty grits that I could, just fine tune and really make it detailed as I can. And it was great too. It was an amazing process, and I think it very much helped me get into character every day. The only downside to it was actually that I kind of started to take on the character a little too much as a persona, because your body doesn't know the difference between what's going on in your mind. It thinks it's you. So as I was writing as me and I was kind of taking on Nate as a persona as well, which Ken has some downsides to it, because he comes from a very like rough upbringing and background, and there's a lot of trauma there as well. So I had to be very careful that I didn't sort of start taking on his personality. And so at the end of every day, I would kind of have a tap out process where I would unzip my character. I'd like pretend that I was in like a almost like an enclosed bag, and I would unzip and I'd step out of the character of Nate and then throw it in the trash and leave him at work for that day. That was kind of my process. And I think come season two, I was a lot more aware and a lot more careful of that process. And I didn't write as first person anymore. I kind of wrote as like, I wrote Nate instead of I or me. So I kind of, made that change, which really, really helped. But for the time being in season one, it was a fantastic way to get into character, and I went deep into it, and it was terrifying and amazing and exhilarating all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you're such a great Nate, and you're so into his character, and you can tell what the journal has done. And it's great to kind of hear that story, because it's so cool to hear how you had to kind of distinguish between Nate and yourself. But you did a great job. And I mean, did you get that idea from anyone, or is that something that you had just thought of?
Yeah, I remember hearing about Heath Ledger using a journal for the Joker when he was playing the Joker in The Dark Knight. He kind of locked himself in a room for 6 weeks. Granted, I didn't lock myself in a room for 6 weeks. I'm glad I didn't do that. That was kind of the inspiration, really, of Heath Ledger. I remember seeing little clips of what was inside his journal. It was very cool and intricate and very dark and very detailed, and so I kind of wanted to go along the same lines of that, but sort of take it in my own route, of course, as well.
Yeah, that's so cool to hear. Well, thank you so much for that. I know a lot of people are going to love to hear that. And I mean, even Nate's bearded dragon in this show, What is that like filming with Stan? I feel like that's such an interesting animal to have on set.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Stan the man, my best friend, Nate's best friend. Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I actually think they had two or three different bearded dragons come in. They couldn't get the sort of same dragon every single bearded dragon every single day. So they had multiple ones that looked very much the same, and they're all wonderful to work with. They were very chill and tame, and you know, sometimes it was difficult to get them in the right spot. We had to sort of, you know, tap the glass a little bit so they would move into the perfect spot for the right shot. But you know, between takes, I was allowed to hold the bearded dragons and kind of, you know, pet it and like talk to it. And there was one day that I was filming with Kadeem, who plays Chris, and we had a scene in his bedroom in season two where I come to drop off Stan, and you know, between takes, we're both holding him and, you know, like admiring this beautiful little dragon, and it was so cool, so surreal. And they actually, you know, they're what do you call it? They're cold blooded, I think. So they have to be under warm light all the time. So, you know, he was constantly like in a warm environment under like a warm light, and we got to feed him a couple times, and obviously Stan is such an important character to Nate too. It's his best friend, you know. He has conversations with it. It's like talking to a dog, you know. You can't confide in this little companion without there being any sort of verbal communication back from them. So you can just let out all your problems to this dragon, and Stan will listen. So yeah, it's great.
He's such a minor role, but such a crucial part to Nate's character. And I think even in season two, when he has that moment with Chris and he's leaving Stan to Chris, and I just think that was such a pivotal moment for Nate and his storyline, even in season two. And I think there was a lot of growth in that storyline. And season two was him figuring out his feelings for Bronwyn and keeping Bronwyn in his life. So what did you make sure to do to what did you make sure you did so you were properly portraying Nate's growth?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. I think what it was for me, and in terms of, I guess, specifically Bronwyn as well, I think it was Nate living his life for someone else, because he had never really seen that before. Growing up with his parents, they didn't live for him. They completely abandoned him, and he was kind of looking after his father, and there was a lot of resentment there. His mother left as well, so he never saw a mother figure in his life. So he's someone that comes from abandon and loss and a lot of trickery and dishonesty. And so if that's kind of like all you learn, you're going to just sort of naturally take that on. So I think in terms of Nate's growth, I think it was him coming to terms with just being honest with himself and his feelings, and being honest with Bronwyn, and knowing that he has like people to lean on, he has like his friends to lean on, and that in life, like, community is so important. So you have to be able to have people around you that you can count on, and he's never had that before. So I think for Nate, that was, you know, one was like community and learning to like love the people and his friends and around him, and also coming to terms with loving himself and loving Bronwyn, and just being honest with her as well, because that's, you know, honesty is the best policy. And I think a lot of people will relate to that too. And I hope a lot of young men in today's society can be able to learn from that too, and to be just honest with themselves and upfront with, you know, whoever they're in a relationship with, or, you know, partners that they're with, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, just to be completely transparent, because I think communication is so important. So I think that's definitely a few pointers that I wanted to make sure I was hitting with Nate's growth. And I think we do see that. I think we see that progression throughout season two, and it's really cool to see. Yeah.
No, we definitely do. And I think season two was such a great season overall for Nate. And I think he had so many great scenes and different lines. I mean, he was just a great character overall. But are there any scenes that were a favorite for you to film, whether it was part of the storyline or just a fun memory?
I want to ask you, were there any, what was your favorite scene? I want to I'm curious. Did you have it?
Oh my gosh, I had so many. First of all, I loved Bronwyn's karaoke scene. That was one of my favorites. And then
Oh my God.
I also, my favorite is when Nate Wynn, when they're on the stairs in front of like Bronwyn's vacation house, and she says, "This isn't fighting, it's figuring out." I thought that was just such a great scene. So that was my favorite.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I love that because that's got to be one of my favorite too. Oh, there's so many. I mean, that would be one. Shooting that was really, really fun, and I think working with Marianne Lee and like Ben Semenoff, the director as well. Just two amazing creatives, and we were really able to take our time with that scene. I think like the director Ben allowed us to really kind of sit in that scene and try different things and really try and make it real and authentic as possible. And it's crucial to the storyline, to their storyline as well. I think they're two completely sort of polar opposite characters that are trying to be together and work it out, and they can work it out. They're doing that as well. They're making it work, being completely different characters. And all Nate knows is like fighting. When something gets heated, he thinks someone's gonna, hit him or. And then with Bronwyn, it's like in her family dynamic growing up, they were probably arguing all the time, but it's not really arguing, it's just communicating with, I guess, passion. And it's good for the soul. I think fighting in a way, like arguing in a way, is good for the soul because you're able to like really air out your emotions, excuse me, and like get it out. So I think that was really cool to explore. And for me as Cooper as well, learning that too, for me as well, learning that like communication is very important, and that conflict is good sometimes. So I think that's like another reason why that film was so amazing to shoot. I will say that scene was really, really great, but also the fight scene with Cole and Nate was really, really fun to shoot with Joe, who plays Cole. I love the physical stuff. I'd love to get a bit physical and like do some stunt work, and I'd love to do that more in the future with future projects. So I would say that was another really fun scene to shoot. And I remember one take, we just they kept telling us like, oh, what was it? They were like 80% power, but 100% speed. So like, no, sorry, my bad, other way around. I think it was like, anyways, they were telling us to not go so fast because on camera it looks fast anyway. So like, slow it down. But I couldn't get that memo. Couldn't do it. When I would do take, I just get so in the scene that I was just throwing the punches so quick. And I remember one take, I had Joe, and I kind of like had to spin him around, but I pretty much threw him, and we're having a laugh afterwards because when I threw him, he was like, dude, I like flew through the air when you tossed me. He was like, my legs like came off the ground,
Oh my
and
gosh.
all good fun. No one got injured. We had a good laugh about it afterwards, and I love to do some stunt work, so I'd say that's another really fun scene I enjoyed.
That's so cool to hear, especially being able to watch the scenes and then hearing these stories. And for stunt work, so you like to do your own stunt work, but you're not able to ride the motorcycle, right?
No,
Okay.
unfortunately not. No, which sucks. But I get it. It's it's safety reasons,
Yeah.
liability. Like if I did know how to ride a motorcycle, and some freak accident happened where, I don't know, like the clutch blew out or something like that, and I fell off, even if I knew how to ride, and like the motorcycle landed on my leg and I broke my knee, it's like, oh, filming stops for
Yeah.
however long, 2 months, however long it takes to recover from a broken knee. So no, I didn't get to ride it. I would love to learn. I would love to learn how to ride it. I think it's a good thing. Yeah, I think it makes sense, right? Like I think it's a good idea that I didn't ride, otherwise who knows what would happen. And it works, it looks good, even with like, a stunt person on the motorcycle. Like
Yeah,
that's the
you're not
beauty
even
of
able
film.
to tell.
Yeah, you don't know,
Yeah.
hey? Like
Yeah.
yeah, it's the beauty of filmmaking. They make it work.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I do have to say this next question. It comes from one of your biggest fans and one of my best friends that I met through One of Us is Lying, Larissa. She's the one who helps get me in touch with you for this interview. So she wants
Right.
to know if there's any how hard it was to get into character for scenes with Nate's parents, since those are so emotional and those are very different from some of his other.
Well, great question, Larissa, and hello to Larissa. Hello, hello. That's a great question. Yeah, it was. I think Errol, who played my dad, and Adie, who played my mom, they're fantastic actors and such kind people, and completely different to their characters as well, which was really cool. And I think it was, we're just working with such amazing people and very supportive people as well. And you were able to have a discussion about Nate's past and how he's feeling about his parents and where his head's at with like the whole situation about his mum coming back and his mum basically like blaming him for like Simon's death, nearly sending him to prison, and so the sort of resentment that he feels. And it was tricky too because, in my life, I love dearly my mother, and my parents have great relationships with them. So it was almost like, like this feels so like unnatural to do, but you kind of just got to, have empathy for Nate and realize how much hurt he feels towards like his mother and his father. Like they're not parents, they're babies really. Like he had to be the one parenting, and like no kid wants to go through that. So there were points where it was difficult, but there was always that dialogue that you could have with the director and Adie and Errol. And come season two, I didn't really get to work with Errol, but Adie, we had a couple scenes together, and it was just really good fun too. It was good fun. She Adie's a director herself, so she understands, the world, and she's a fantastic actor, and she's a mum too, so she can relate. She's a great mother though, not a terrible mother like Nate's mother. But it was tricky at times, but it made it really easy at the same time that you could have like the conversation with all these other creatives, and yeah, it was good. It was a good time. It was really fun.
Yeah, no, that's so good to hear, and kind of seeing how you're able to distinguish what's happening on screen from off screen too. And I think even in season two, we got to see Nate interact with a lot of different characters than he did with in season one. So are there any characters that you would like to see Nate have more scenes with in a potential season three?
Yeah, that follows on really well to the last question as well, because I would love to see Nate interact more with his parents. I would love to see, because I think with all the other characters, we do get to see a pretty, substantial amount of interacting with their parents. Cooper Clay and his dad have like an amazing storyline. I love their storyline together, the father-son bond. So I'd love to see, if season three happens, them nurture Nate's parents, sort of storyline, and see where we can take that, and maybe them rekindling their love for one another, and maybe even the family dynamic coming back together. Like the possibilities are endless, and I would really love to see them work on that a little more. I mean, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that they can do that, and fingers crossed, hopefully they can. But yeah, I mean, that would be a storyline I would love to see be explored more. Truly, because I feel like we got a slice of it, but we want the whole damn pie. We want to see everything. Like, you know what I mean? Sink our teeth into it all.
I think that would be, excuse me, such great growth for Nate also. I think that would be so much fun for the fans to see, and just kind of seeing how he grows with that. So that would be a good storyline. I'd like to see that too. And Nate and TJ even had some scenes this season, so that was exciting. And did that have anything to do with the actor stunt double joke? Did that kind of play a part in getting Nate and TJ those roles as waiters?
You know what? I like when I saw the question pop up, I hadn't actually really thought about that. And because George and I did that last year, and it actually stemmed from, I think it stemmed from the video of like Tom Cruise and Ben Stiller, looking the same. There's a video of them too, like Ben Stiller's trying to act like Tom Cruise and like be stunt double. But obviously Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. So when we were filming Homecoming last, sorry, not last year, year before, for season one, we both looked the same suit, like same hair, like we looked identical. We were sitting down in the green room at one point, and I think Barrett was like, "You guys like could play each other stunt doubles," and so we like recreated the video with Ben Stiller and Tom Cruise. But like, when I saw the question, I was like, you know what? Maybe they did. Maybe they saw like the video and like, hey, let's put them in scenes together, because I also think I also think their characters are somewhat similar, and And it kind of works. It's really cool to see TJ and Nate in scenes together. And you know, possibly they could have been friends back in the day, you know, when they were younger in like, you know, elementary school or something like that. But I would love to believe that they put us in scenes together because of that video. I think that'd be really cool. But I'm not too sure the reasoning. I hope so. I fingers
Hope
crossed.
so. Because I was
I
just
should
watching
ask.
with someone who isn't as familiar with the cast, but they saw the scene and they're like, they look so much alike. And I was like, I think there was a running joke on that. But yeah,
Yeah, did they see the video that we created?
they hadn't, but I'll have to show them because they were like, they look so alike. And I was like, they kind of did have a joke about that running last year. So that's funny to hear.
We filmed another one as well this season. I haven't released it on social media yet, but
You might
I
have
might have to
to
post it up. Yeah, some more juicy content.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And I think we kind of went over this with Nate's parents, but are there any other storylines that you would like to see explored for Nate in a potential season three?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Even coming off the, I would love to see Nate have more of a relationship with Maeve, because they're obviously in a, because like they don't really get to interact too much, and obviously Maeve and Nate have had like a little bit of a past history as well, and I don't think she really approves of Nate either. Dating Bronwyn. So I'd love to see their relationship sort of flourish a little more and see where they can, excuse me, my
No,
God,
you're
take
good.
that, take that storyline. Because you know, there's nothing worse than having a sibling not like you. You know, if you're dating someone, and their siblings don't approve of you, or the parents don't approve of you. So I'd love, because I think Nate is very much a misunderstood character. Once you get to know him, he has a golden heart and he's a good boy. And you know, he just has a lot of shit going on, you know, in his past and whatnot, that we gotta kind of come to terms with and understand. And like everybody as well, everybody has their own things going on, and so I think that's why compassion is so important. And so I would love to see their relationship flourish and them become really close as well. And I would love for Nate to become protective over Bronwyn and Maeve, you know, then be like this sort of like little triangle thing going on. So yeah, I would say Nate and Maeve would be really cool to explore.
That would also be really interesting, especially if Maeve stays with Janae, especially because Nate told Janae the pills. So that could be really
Right.
interesting. That would be interesting. I would
Yeah,
like to
and
see
then they could, yeah, 100%.
that. That would be great. And I mean, so I did hear at the pilot wrap party that you and Marianne Lee, in honor of Nate wins, sung Dreams by Fleetwood Mac together, karaoke. So would you ever be open to singing on screen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that would be really cool. Like if they did season three and they incorporated, we were actually talking about this, I think, last year when we were on set filming season two. I think Marianne Lee and I were talking about like, oh, it'd be cool because like I play a little bit of guitar, and it'd be cool if like Nate played some guitar, or maybe like he picked it up, or you know, I'm sure there'd be a guitar in his room that he sort of picks up and strums every now and then. And to not like, we wouldn't have the episode be like a musical by any means, but he kind of like, you know, there's maybe a scene where he's down on his luck and he picks up his guitar and he plays a song. We see him singing, and like doesn't have to be very good, because like I'm not the best singer. Like I'll admit it, like I can't really sing that well. You know, it's either I feel like it's either you have it or you don't. And I don't really have it. I try and sing in the shower and hit a tune, but I don't really get there. So but I would love to see, yeah, I'd love to see Nate singing it. Yeah, we see Marianne and I, we have a Bronwyn and Nate playlist on Spotify as well. So we kind of got all those like that old 70s rock and like some you know, romantic songs in there, and just songs that we feel fit the vibe for Nate specifically and Bronwyn specifically, and then like their sort of relationship together as well. I think music is a really great tool to sort of get into the mood of things and get into character. I definitely feel it helps for us. And whenever we had scenes together, we would put in AirPods, and so I'd have one and she would have one, and we'd be listening to the same music before any like Bronwyn and Nate scenes. That was kind of something that we did, which was, yeah, really helpful tool to use. And Yeah, I remember that karaoke night. Wow, that was like 3 years ago now. 3 years ago, long
Oh
time
my
ago. But
goodness, yeah.
I'm so happy that they added Bronwyn's karaoke scene into there too, because that was like really fun to shoot, and she nailed it. She nailed it. She was fantastic up on that stage. Like, killed it. Killed it.
Yes.
Like.
It was great. And then even having the rest of Nate, Addie, and Cooper there, like I thought that was just such a great, I love that scene. It was perfect. I agree. But I
And
mean,
also like and also like the moment sort of flowing into that scene as well beforehand, where it was like a surrender to the moment. Like, I think that's such a great episode where they all kind of feel liberated because they're going to turn themselves in. They don't have the pressure of this ticking time bomb investigation anymore. It's like, oh well, we're kind of giving up, but not in a defeatist way. It's just kind of like, well, we're doing the right thing, so they're able to go and live their lives as teenagers for a few hours and do the things that scare them. And I think that's an important thing to do in life, is to not let fear hold you back. And so it was a surrender to the moment. And yeah, I agree. It was cool to have all Bronwyn's friends there at that time. And I know we all felt like it was such a moment. And that whole episode was, we talk about it as well. Like, that whole episode was just fantastic. One of our favorites, if not the best.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the fan favorite episodes too. I mean, all of episode five, it was great. And I mean, I know I really enjoyed it, was my favorite. So that one really left a mark on me. And I mean, One of Us is Lying, I think overall, like the TV show, you guys were so affected by the pandemic. I mean, I felt like it just kept like hitting you guys, like you started filming and then even season one got affected. And then this year you were finally able to do in-person promo. What was that like, being able to go to New York and all?
It was fantastic. Great question too, because when we were filming season one, we had Comic-Con, but we had to do it over Zoom. So we were in, I think we were in quarantine that time in Toronto. So we had locked down in New Zealand. There was like one case in New Zealand, and we locked down the whole country, and we had 3 days to go. So it was like, 3 days to go, and the whole country locks down. So we were in New Zealand for like a month, I think, or like 3 weeks. And then we flew the whole production to Toronto, and a few of us quarantined for 2 weeks, and then we filmed the last 3 days in Toronto. But yeah, so we went through it all. It was like very complicated and a bit of a struggle, but we got through it. And so it was a privilege to be able to do it in person last year, in New York Comic Con. And like we were talking before we started recording, before we jumped on, it was kind of like, it was just crazy. It was a whirlwind, and everything was moving so fast. And before you know it, it's like the day was over. But it was, I'm so grateful to be able to do it in person and have such a huge following and a fan following and people that appreciate the show, because it is the people, it is the fans that, watch the show and do love the show, that allows us to continue to create the show and continue our craft as actors. And I think that's damn beautiful. So I mean, props to everyone that sort of came out and appreciates the show. And it was just really cool. Like, you put like the nice outfit on, you have like a fitting, and you dress up and you look dapper, and you're getting photos taken. And the Empire State Building was amazing. So yeah, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. But by the end of the day, you're like, oh my God, like, wow, we just it was just so speedy, crazy, a lot of lights and cameras. But it was a pleasure to be able to do it with such a great gang, a great group of people. And the cast on the show, everyone is so kind and genuine, and just really easy and chill to work with. So I'm blessed.
Yeah, it was so great to be able to see you guys do in-person promo too, because you guys have put so much hard work into the show. And then it was great to be able to see you guys come out in person and meet fans. So I know that was definitely a memorable moment for me last year also. And then even last year, I know you filmed Savage River in Australia. So how was that, like being able to go film something other than One of Us is Lying and kind of get out of the Nate character, a new complete different character, and then even just that you got to film something from where you're from.
Yeah, it was that's a great question. And it was wonderful too. It was really definitely a change of scene. excuse me. It was definitely a change of scene. Sorry, one second, Alison. It was, yeah, it was amazing. And I think that it was strange because I remember filming Savage River, and because my character is from like a small country outback town in Australia, when I went to film it, I had a little bit of an American accent. Like there was like this, a little bit of a twang, because I'd been working in, you know, in the American accent for a while. So I actually had to almost put on a really harsh, country strong Australian accent. So you know, it wasn't even like my natural accent. Well, it was, but at the same time it wasn't. I always had to like force it a little bit, which was cool because it was also like a character choice at the same time, because this guy Terry, he grew up in like a small Australian country town where it is, you know, he lives in a rural region, so the accent is a little stronger, it's a little harsher. But, and you know, it was great to do something at home too. I hadn't done something in Australia for a while, for a few years. So it was nice to challenge myself in that way. And yeah, sort of same thing. Like my character, Terry, is a single father and he has a young daughter, a 4-year-old young daughter named Ocean. And, you know, his girlfriend and the mother of his child had left. And so had just left him and his daughter to fend for themselves. And he was an ex-drug addict. So he was a recovering heroin addict. And when he had his daughter, it was kind of like, okay, I've got to fix up my life now. I gotta get my shit together, my act together. And so it was kind of really cool to be able to explore that. And I, this one character choice I made, I had like the makeup team put like track marks, like needle scars on the inside of my arm and wrists as well. And that was like really cool at the start of every day when I would have like these track marks put on my arm. That was a kind of a way to get into this character. And I'm like, okay, well here's Terry, you know, that holds so much power in just seeing such a small detail of like, oh wow, you know, he went through some shit. Like he was literally shooting up heroin and throwing his life away, and he's come so far. He has like a beautiful daughter and he's like trying to be the best father that he can. And that was a challenge in itself too, playing a dad as well. So but it was really nice to step into it and work with some amazing people. Jocelyn Morehouse, the director, she's wonderful. Catherine Langford as well was really, really great to work with too. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so much different than Nate, but still tapping into that emotional kind of background.
Yeah, I mean, very different, but like a lot of similarities at the same time too. They have like a dark history, a dark past, you know, coming from a broken family. So yeah, what is it with me playing characters that have drug affiliated? I don't get it. Like do I give off like a drug dealer vibe or something? I don't know.
I don't think it is. I think it just speaks to your acting and how good you are at acting. So
I love it. I fit in that realm.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, what advice can you give to anyone who wants to go into the entertainment industry?
Ooh, great question. I would say that take your time. Don't rush anything. It takes time. Just be persistent and dedicated to it. And know that like it will come, like the break will come. And I think also don't think too much about the future either. Like enjoy the process, enjoy the work, whether it be you're still auditioning or you're working on a show. You know, you don't have to attain some sort of level of fame or goal or money. It truly is like the journey along the way. It's the work that you do, and enjoy that as much as you can. Enjoy the breakthroughs and the struggles and you know, just be present and know that like good things will come, and it takes time. And that's coming from like I'm only 21 and I've been acting since I was 11. But I moved to LA when I was 18. And I think that like when I first moved over, it was a lot of rushing, and it was a lot of like, oh, I've got to try and make it as fast as I can. But now booking work, I look back and I'm like, I can just slow down and enjoy it. You have your whole life ahead of you. And some people don't, you know, you could be working consistently at 30, you know, or 35 or 40. So, and that's okay. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, that's time. That's great advice, because especially when you're in your early 20s, there's this like feeling of you have to rush to find out, to figure out what you want to do and how to do it. So it is great to hear that taking your time, and that's kind of the route to go. And I think that is really meaningful to a lot of people. And before we go, do you mind doing a speed round of questions?
Let's go. I'm ready, Allison. Okay. Let's do it.
So what was the last TV show or movie that you watched?
Oh, School of Rock. I just watched that last night for like the 900th time because I love that movie.
Ooh, that's a good one. And motorcycles or cars?
Oh, I've ridden a motorcycle a couple of times, so I would have to say cars. I'd have to say cars.
A dog person or a cat person?
Dog person, for sure.
Same. And do you have a favorite song at the moment?
Oh my God. Actually, you know what? There's a song that just got released by Fred Again. It's called Rumble, and it's like a collaboration between Fred Again and Skrillex. And I used to listen to like Skrillex back in the day when I was like 11 years old, and it's this weird funky techno song. It's so cool though. It's very cool. So I'd say that, Rumble.
Check it out. Reality TV show or sitcom?
Sitcom.
And then I think this one, as I was writing it, I knew what it was going to be, but Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
Yeah. That's what, yeah, I thought.
I don't really use Twitter. Instagram all the way.
Well, Cooper, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a great episode. And I mean, I learned so much about Nate. So thank you for all of the information about him too.
Oh, thank you, Allison. I appreciate you having me on today. And I'm glad that we could make this work. And, you know, thank you for supporting the show so much and being such a fan of our work too. Like it truly means so much to us and the rest of the cast and crew. So really, really do appreciate it. And fingers crossed for season 3.
Thank you. Yes, we're hoping. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and a huge thank you to Cooper for being such a great guest. Tune in next week for an episode with Molly Nussbaum, a writer from the series. For now, next week will be my last interview with anyone involved in production from the series, but I will be continuing with fan episodes. See you next week, and make sure to follow One of Us is Talking on Instagram.